Join the conversation in Clare on Facebook, Twitter, or call 1850 400 964.
With Brexit on the horizon, one of the biggest issues for Ireland is the possible return of the border between the Republic and Northern Ireland. My next guest has just published a new book, Bombs, Bullets and the Border, which examines Irish government security policy and the role played by the Gardaí and Irish Army along the Northern Irish border during some of the worst years of the Troubles. Patrick Mulroe is author of Bombs, Bullets and the Border and joins me on the line. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. How are you doing?
Very well, good to talk to you. A lot of talk in this book, I think, is very well timed, whether that by accident or intentionally, but all the talk of the possible but hopefully unlikely return of a hard border between Ireland, Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. Do you remember the days when the border was there?
Yeah, Pat, no, I suppose it's an historical study. I wasn't even born during the period of time my work covers, but I would remember as a child growing up the hard border and the checkpoints and the closed roads and all that would have involved, yes.
I remember many years ago going up to Loch Derrigan, Donegal, and going through the border two or three times and meeting the soldiers and all of that. As a child, you remember all that?
Yeah, you'd remember, and a lot of people probably would remember the main border checkpoints in places like Achmaclay, you know, if you're heading up to Donegal, or probably going through the Newry-Dundalk Road. You know, the people would remember the long tailbacks and the effect that had and the ill feeling that it maybe created through the years. And then there was a big campaign to open the border roads. It took off really in the early 90s. But if you go back further to the 1970s when the border roads were initially closed, it had a massive impact on the local community. Efforts to reopen those roads because it was, as you can imagine, you know, it would be like just neighbours were being cut off from each other, farms were being divided by two. It had a really, really significant effect on local communities.
What prompted you to write this particular book then?
Well, I suppose it was an academic study I was doing. I was looking at a PhD, and the term Brexit wouldn't have even been coined when I would have been beginning my studies. You know, it was 2010. Like, nobody foresaw Britain leaving the EU at that point. I was looking. A lot of the work that has been done on the Northern Troubles has focused on activities that took place in Belfast and Derry City, the urban centres, and there's been less so written on what happened in border areas. And what had been written about border communities tended towards maybe the sensationalised stuff, you know, portraying those areas as bandit country. And I didn't think the existing works focusing on the southern side of the border fully explained the complexity of the situation in the border at the time.
Of course, you would have had not just the Gardaí with the Irish Army, and then on the other side, you would have had the RUC as it was, and the British Army. Would you have had both at the same checkpoints, or were they alternating? Would you have had both forces from both sides of the borders on each checkpoint?
No, that was actually a matter of controversy because the Irish security forces, they preferred mobile checkpoints, whereas the British security forces, for political reasons, there was political pressure on them to have permanent vehicle checkpoints. Now, constantly I would see when I would have went through the archives that the British government would have put pressure on the Irish government to introduce permanent vehicle checkpoints, but the Irish security forces argued that these weren't terribly effective because they said local people got to know where the checkpoints were and they just avoided them by going back roads or by going through unauthorised roads. So it was a source of controversy. There would have been frequent allegations from, again, British security forces in terms of media briefings, you know, that the Irish security forces weren't doing a thorough enough job policing the border. And then the Irish security forces, they would have countered this by saying that there was effectively no police in border areas north of the border, and it had been left exclusively to the British Army to police the border area, and that was a role that they maybe weren't overly suited for.
Who do you think would enjoy this book the most? Would it be people who were growing up during the Troubles, or people who are academically interested but probably weren't around at the time?
Well, for young people who weren't aware of the border, I think it would give a great insight. But I think particularly there would have been a lot of people coming from the west of Ireland. Maybe there's a tradition of people from the west of Ireland coming and joining the Gardaí, and a lot of them might have come up to the border on temporary transfer. People maybe from a military background, likewise, they would have come up. But you also had people moving in the other direction. You had a lot of people coming from the north who came south. The language used at the time was very interesting. It was described these people as refugees. You know, you had 5,000 refugees held in a single day south of the border in 1972. 10,000 held in the summer months of 1972, people who were fleeing the north of Ireland. You know, and a lot of these people came to settle. You know, they would be very, very interested. That whole issue is dealt with. And sometimes people forget how dramatic those times were with, you know, literally hundreds of people fleeing at a time across the border, sometimes in convoys. You know, on one occasion the Irish government sent buses into the north to bring people home, or to bring people south, sorry, rather than home.
Yes.
So, you know, anybody who would remember those times, or people who want to find out more about those times, would be very interested in the book.
People, I still think, have I include myself in this, a sort of a morbid curiosity in the whole thing. Maybe passing the border, you'd have a look. You know well where the border changes because of the change in traffic signs and so forth, and sometimes the change of road surfaces is quite obvious as well. But you'd see in some places, I think Black Line is an example, where you can still see where the waste ground at either side of the road or looks like a lay-by for all the world, but there's no infrastructure there anymore.
No, like you occasionally you might see some the remnants of a burnt out customs post or burnt out border facility, but the infrastructure is gone, thankfully, you know, and that's a good sign. And I remember again when I was growing up, you used to notice the change in the roads when you'd cross into the north, because their road surface was much better. Thankfully, it's nearly the other way around now. Our roads have improved dramatically since those times. And It was interesting when I was going around researching the book. One of the last things I did was try to get pictures for the book, because, you know, it's important that people are visually able to see what the border was like. In those times, people had a morbid curiosity, as you said, but people were very reluctant to talk about it, and people were very reluctant to photograph it. You know, so it was actually quite difficult to get pictures and images of the time.
So maybe there might be something from TV footage or something like that. But it's a fair point. It's one thing you don't see very often. You might have seen photographs of the custom posts, which I think were separate in a different ballgame altogether than the security posts. What do you think then? I know that Brexit wasn't even conceived or wasn't even on the agenda when you started writing this book. But what do you think would be the reaction locally in Northern Ireland, on both sides of the border, in fact, if a hard border, as unlikely as it is, did return?
We're really talking about a great unknown at the minute. Like, we don't know if there is going to be a deal between Britain and the European Union 27. If there is a deal, we don't know what form that deal will take. So we really are speculating. Now, if there is any return to a hard border, as it's described, it will be obviously very different than it was 40 years ago. You know, at the border will come in for customs reasons rather than security reasons. But the net effect on local communities could be the same. In other words, people have their day-to-day life interrupted. You know, it could cause disruption to traffic and disruption to travel, disruption to business. You're talking, you know, the phrase the border, Midlands and West, these are disadvantaged areas. You know, it could further disadvantage the economies. And then there's practical things. You know, like I would remember in my own lifetime, if you were going shopping across the border, you know, and you bought too much of certain items, you were supposed to declare them, and if people didn't declare them, you know, strictly speaking, they were breaking the law. And, you know, if you're creating a culture where people are breaking the law by doing their daily activities, you know, it's not good for the overall well-being of society. Now, I wouldn't think there would be any immediate outbreak of violence. I don't think that's likely. But I'd just be worried about the long-term implications for border communities.
And there certainly could be a part two in this, although there won't be any bombs and bullets, hopefully, in any case. Patrick, thank you so much. Best of luck. It's available in paperback, available presumably in most bookstores now at this stage.
Yeah, it's online. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it in Easton's, get in any local bookshop.
That's Bombs, Bullets and the Border. Patrick Mulroe, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning and for speaking to us. And Patrick's book is basically looking at the famous Irish government policy in relation to their role by the Gardaí and the Irish Army along the Northern Irish border during the worst year of the Troubles.
Join the conversation in Clare on Facebook, Twitter or call 1850 400 964.